Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna, and we're talking about leading with emotional intelligence. Josh, what is emotional intelligence?
Yeah, so there's a number of components, but I think essentially the best way to begin to think about it, it's not just thinking about how do you get someone to do what you want them to do, but what's going on internally inside of you as you're asking them to do something. And I think that's kind of the big move in leadership from just how do I get other people to do what I want them to do versus how do I kind of lead myself in a way, regulate my emotions and be self-aware and have empathy for what they're thinking and feeling in that moment. And that's kind of the basis of emotional intelligence.
So is it kind of the systems behind what's happening?
I wouldn't say the systems, but rather the emotions behind what's happening. So what you're feeling and thinking and what the other person is feeling and thinking. And so to think about that is, and so emotional intelligence isn't, it's really about me and my leadership and how I'm understanding them, where they're at, and what I'm thinking and feeling in the moment. And so like the reality is any interchange we have as human beings, I ask you to do something. And there's emotions in how you're receiving that. There's emotions in how I'm asking that and how I receive and how I perceive that you're receiving what I ask. And so emotional intelligence asks, how am I doing with my own emotions as I lead you?
All right. How do you?
I know, right? Okay. We probably got that perfectly, right?
That was good. How does emotional intelligence impact leadership? Why would we talk about it on a leadership podcast?
Yeah, because the reality of how, so relationships aren't just an interchange, right? It's not just a conversation, but it's the emotions and the feelings and the thoughts that are behind that conversation. And so sometimes we don't think about conversation at that level, but it always is. Like whether you hide your emotions or you're aware of your emotions, those emotions are always there and they're affecting you. And so the reason why it matters is it matters how you feel as a leader when you're asking somebody to do something. Because if I do this, like if I ask you to do something and you tell me no, and then I'm furious about that and I go off on you and rail on you and yell on you, you know, that's not going to be a good working relationship. But if I ask myself the question, why does it bother me that she said no? Then I can self-regulate and I can deal with that. Because what I need to do is if you tell me no, I need to ask, okay, why are you saying no? Other than going off on you and you're a blah, blah, blah and a so-and-so and a whatever, like that does no good. And I think really, The core issue is we're coming out of a world where we were a command and control world. And so a boss could say, do this because I'm the boss. And now we're in a world where you say, do this because I'm the boss. They're going to find a different job, right?
Okay,
they're
going
to go somewhere else. And so now we have to be a boss that actually cares about their development, a leader who actually cares about where they're going to go and how do we help them get there. And the only way we do that is by regulating our emotions and having a better understanding of what they're feeling in this moment.
There has to be a foundation of self-awareness within emotional intelligence, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have to know why it bothers me that you don't just listen to me. Right? I have to, and if I don't know that, if I don't know why it bothers me, then I lose the chance to actually lead you. I can still boss you around, but I lose the chance to lead you if I don't understand why that bothers me that you might tell me no.
So does self-awareness impact an individual's ability to lead others well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if it's all about me and what I want in the situation, then I'm not actually leading you. I'm just bossing you around. But because a leader has to understand and work toward understanding how their interactions bother them. And if I can understand and regulate my emotions, and it's not, so I don't want to make it seem like this. I don't want to make it seem that it's bad to have emotions or bad to not have emotions. Like it's not that, but it's rather, do I understand what's going on internally as I'm leading? Understand why I'm upset or why I'm indifferent understand why I'm frustrated or understand why I don't seem to care and you think I should care, right? Like it's all of that. Like why are you operating the way that you are?
So there's a lot more thought that has to go into this. It's not, like you said, it's not a boot to throat. I think that's the term you've used with me. It's no longer I tell you do, but it's that understanding how I operate, understanding how I can come across and doing it better, doing it with more empathy, with more awareness, with more wisdom.
Well, so I think sometimes with emotional intelligence, we think that you have emotional intelligence if you have this approach. So boot to throat is, that's clearly a bad emotional response and you shouldn't do that.
But boot to throat is, I'm really telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I'm in your face a little bit. Like, get it done. You got to get this done.
No, but I think emotional intelligence is understanding when you need to do that and when you do not need to do that. Right? So it's not that like, oh, this person is steady and gentle and humble, so they must have great emotional intelligence. It's not that. It's understanding when you need to dial it up to a 9 and be a little more aggressive, and understanding when you need to dial it back because you need to just sit with someone. And so I think like emotional intelligence is not necessarily a certain leadership style, but understanding when you need to challenge and when you need to walk with someone, when you need to hear what they have to say, and when you need to say, no, this is the way that we need to do it. And so I think emotional intelligence is understanding your emotions of what you naturally want to do and understanding what they need. And so I think like, so for me, one of the ways I need to grow in emotional intelligence is I need to learn when people need to be challenged a little more, when I need to be not boot to throat, but a little more toward that avenue, right? That's because my natural inclination is to be just really gentle and calm and passive. And there's a lot of good parts of that.
Right.
I'm not sure if I came into peace with Christ boot to throat when I first came and took over from Pastor Hiller. Like it wouldn't have worked. But when are times when somebody is actually looking for a little more challenge, right? And so that's really the key of emotional intelligence, is that I understand that my natural inclination is to be a little passive. How do I begin to watch for signs in somebody else that you need a little more clearer direction, that you need to be challenged a little bit more, that you need to be told what to do here in this situation? Like that's the emotional intelligence. It's knowing not what do I need from a situation, but what does the other person need and what's my natural emotional reaction?
For me, my emotional reaction isn't emotional. I'm fierce. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more boot to throat.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm really been working on the past couple of years more of a steady approach.
Yeah.
But like you, I have to push myself a little bit in that direction. Mm-hmm. I have to think about it.
Mm.
Don't be reactive.
Yeah.
Just listen. Don't own it. Don't try to fix it. Just listen, be empathetic. That's a little bit of what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's thinking what they need, but then also like, so if I got, you know, for you, I would say if you get bothered within a situation, so you're leading someone, you get bothered, it's taking the pause to say, why am I bothered right now? Like, why am I getting fired up? Why do I want to go boot to throat here? Is it because it's the right thing for them? Or is it feels right for me? And that's that emotional regulation, that self-regulation that has to come into leadership. It's so like you actually told me this with my kids. Like you asked the question because I'm calm. I can stay calm. But you asked me the question one time, Sarah was an I parenting. You asked, is it possible that you need to raise your voice at your kids? Right?
Like, thanks, Donna.
Which seems weird, right? Because it's like, nope, stay calm. But there are times now where I will raise my voice and I don't, and this is easy for me. I don't do it out of place of anger. I've never raised my voice at my kids from a place of anger.
Right.
But I have decided to raise my voice at them because they needed to hear me and know that this mattered. Right. And so I think like that's, that's an example of emotional intelligence that I decided to do something that was outside the norm of me because it's what I believed and felt my kids needed in that moment, right? And so it's a decision to do something for their sake, not because it feels right or I think it's right, but because I believe I'm reading the situation and I believe it's what they need.
What do you think the turning point was from leaders leading more, I hate that term boot to throw. I really do.
Yeah.
What is the
command and control?
Okay, command and control. What was the turning point from command and control to more of this kind of approach?
So historically, and I'm not a great historian, but my guess, and I think I've heard this explained by others way better, but there was a place where part of it was generationally, so we could talk about the generations. The boomers had much more of a loyalty configuration, and now it's more of a mental health configuration within the workplace. But the other is, I think we're in a place of society where you don't need the job. Like, we're in a place of prosperity where, you know, if I don't want to work for this boss, I can go work for a different boss. And I think with a workage shortage, especially coming out of COVID, like, this became imperative for leaders, because you can just, if it doesn't work here, I'll just go somewhere else, because the loyalty, some of it's the loyalty's not there as much anymore.
Right.
It's not a big deal to switch jobs 5 times in 10 years.
You don't have a quarterback that stays with a team forever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was a kid.
Right. We even see it in sports. Like, it's no big deal for an NBA player. I'm an NBA guy. I love the NBA. Go to a different place because he's just not feeling it there. Mm. Whereas it used to be that was the huge deal that this player switched teams. Now it's just, that's a Friday.
Mm.
And so I think we see the same thing in the workplace. And so that's why I come back to, like, if we're not leading with emotional intelligence, somebody's probably not going to stay at your company long. They're not going to stay as a volunteer with you long. You're not, all of this. You're not going to be able to lead, I think, even your kids as well. But I think in a lot of ways too, like, this is a good thing.
Awesome.
I think this is much more Christ-like, right? Like, did Jesus ever lead with a command and control? Now, he never shied away from hard things. He always said the truth. So he wasn't just a passive gentle. Like, I think sometimes the world says, well, Jesus was all about love and he only ever loved and that's all he ever did. Like, sometimes the world will give that definition of Jesus and that's not true.
Right.
But, like, I think Jesus was, well, he seems to be very concerned with people's emotions.
I think he lost it in the temple.
Like, yeah.
That was the time that we really did see his emotions flare
right
up.
But even that, so sometimes we miss in the temple. The one text says that he braided a rope or braided a whip. He sat down and made a whip. Like, what did he do? He regulated his emotions before he decided to react with anger. Right? Like, it's what you told me with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Jesus did. He decided to act like that for their benefit. Like, we didn't think about that when we actually prepped a little for this. We talked about a few things and talked about some verses, but we didn't talk about that. But I think that's a great example of emotional intelligence. Like, he decided to say, hey, this isn't okay. I need to react with righteous anger a little bit. And so I think sometimes, like, there's a difference from anger and rage. Rage is my anger got the best of me and I'm just doing whatever feels right.
Right.
But reacting with anger is saying, no, I'm angry at you. This is not okay. And here's why it's not okay. Because Jesus did that. He said why it's not okay, but he got angry. Right. And I think that's okay.
And, like, anger can have a place.
It can.
It can be an okay part of leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people need to see you passionate about something, then you may need to get angry. Now, again, it's not what you being angry. It's what you do with your anger.
And you don't want to do that the majority of the time.
Yeah.
So you keep bringing up this term emotional regulation or self-regulation. Can you define that?
Yeah, self-regulation is just managing your emotions. So I think emotions. So, like, let's stay with anger. Anger can lead to yelling, mm-hmm. right? Yelling generally, now not all the time, but generally is just an outpouring of emotions. I've got so much emotion here that it's just bottled up that's coming out, right?
Correct.
And I would say, like, and I like to differentiate from yelling is emotional, raising your voice is planned, right? I can plan to raise my voice because I'm passionate. And yelling kind of just bottles up. Now, again, sometimes how people perceive yelling and raising your voice is not much different. But I would say that sometimes yelling is appropriate. But you got to decide how the person's going to receive it, right? Am I just letting them, my emotions get the best of me, or am I planning to do this?
Right, because I'm a very, like we talked about, I can, I'm a very emotional person. I have emotional responses, but you yell at me and that is going to crush me in some cases. Like there are people, if I respect you, I respect your leadership, you yelling at me is really going to hurt.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment. So if I did that, so if I haven't done that for 7 years, and I'm not saying I'm going to,
right.
But I haven't done this
Thank
for
you.
7 years. I haven't yelled at you ever in 6 years.
Nope.
But there's something that really matters and you're not getting it. And so I decide to raise my voice at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of two things are going to happen, my guess, is either A, you're going to be so emotionally overwhelmed that you're just going to shut down. Or, and here's the or, and this is what I, this is the struggle with emotional intelligence, because I have to ask myself this question every time. Like, or you're going to see, no, this really matters to Josh in a way that he's never expressed it before. This must be important. And I have enough trust with him that I'm not going to receive it as emotionally too much, but I'm going to receive it as, oh, this really matters. I need to get on board with this. And so that's the question, right, of emotional intelligence.
Which puts the ball in my court to think it through.
Right.
So I don't just get all hurt and crushed because I let you down.
Mm.
But now what am I going to do with that? And so I have a choice now to step back and to look at my next response.
Yeah. Yeah. And with emotionally intelligent people, right, like, when we're working with someone that we have history and we have that, sometimes we can use emotions in different ways to get our point across. Now, if I do that every week, it's going to lose its effectiveness. And then I'm just a tyrant. But again, you know, I don't know that I ever will with you, but I might in some situation raise my voice and say, no, this is not okay, or we need to do this.
Right, which is true, because I can push limits sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can push you and say, why aren't we doing that? And sometimes you just don't want to explain the why. Like, maybe you just need me to get on board with it. And that might be a time where you've got to do that.
Yeah. And I think there's sometimes where I'll let you, like even with us, I'll let us wrestle with things. And there's sometimes I get a little more blunt and maybe elevate a little bit. But I think all of that is right. Emotional intelligence.
So in the area of emotional regulation, what importance does that ability to be able to self-regulate have for leaders, and how can it be a game changer in their leadership?
Yeah, we've kind of been talking around that, but I'll say it more bluntly, because it allows you to show the emotion the other people need you to show, not the emotion you want to embody, not the emotion that you're feeling. And so it's very much... And again, it's Christ-like. It's how am I not getting you to do what I want, but how am I serving you in this situation for the benefit of the common goal we have together, right? And so I think it's self-regulation allows you to serve people best with your emotions, or with the embodiment of certain emotions in certain times, or staying calm when they need you to be calm versus you're spinning inside, right? Like, you're going crazy, but what they need in the moment is for you to stay calm. And so you tell yourself, I'm mad right now. I'm furious. I could blow the doors off this place, but I can tell they need me to stay calm right now. And so that's what you embody. Or you feel like you want to just kind of avoid it, but you know that they need you to call it out.
And that does, that can be a game changer in a given situation. We touched on it earlier, but I want to go back. Where do you see Jesus demonstrating emotional intelligence in his ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I love the we talked about the whip. I love that. But the other one that we came up with was, I think, the woman at the well. So this is John chapter 4, and just a beautiful story of Jesus. Basically, he walks up to this woman. She's going to get a drink, and he says, hey, you know, you can have living water, right? And that's emotional intelligence right now, because he knows that there's a desire and want in her, right, to not have to fetch water. He knows there's some...
At the time of day that it was, when nobody else was going to be at the well.
Right. Which bears out the fact that there's some brokenness in her, because why is she avoiding everybody? But again, and then he has the emotional intelligence, like I contend toward, to he approaches and confronts. He brings up her husband's. He brings up the reason why she's at the well in the middle of the day. He doesn't avoid that. So he has the emotional intelligence to do it, but do it gently and in relationship.
And not in a condemning way.
No.
He really loved her in that moment and was like, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he knows, like, because there's other times where Jesus approaches people very ferociously, right? But here he approaches very gently. And so he has the emotional intelligence to understand what she needs in that situation, which, let's just point out this from Jesus. Like, we see, you can see him all the time embodying emotional intelligence, but he is the absolute savant and expert of emotional intelligence, because he has every hair of our heads numbered. He knows our emotions before we've ever even felt them. Like, he understands our emotions when we don't know them. So he is the absolute savant of this. But it's fascinating. We see him connect with people because he knows how they're thinking and feeling. Right. And so can we embody just a little bit of this?
And even disconnecting sometimes, right? When he went to sleep in the boat and they woke him up, the disciples woke him up and were like, don't you even care? He's like, man, I just need a minute. Or when he went off to pray before some other events.
But even the boat is a great example too of emotional intelligence, because they're freaking out. He could have freaked out with them. Right.
And that was like, amped everybody up.
And so sometimes emotional intelligence being the only one in the room that's not freaking out, or the only one in the room that's not freaking out externally. Right. Like, we've talked about that. We had a podcast on that. I think the unanxious presence.
Correct.
That's emotional intelligence. Being the only one that's not freaking out can make a huge impact, because what do people do? Like, a lot of times, a lot of people judge their emotions based on the other emotions they're seeing people freak out, feel. And so when everybody in a room is freaking out, your blood pressure rises, your heart goes up, and you don't think correctly.
Yes.
Right? That's where we work like that, because God first designed us to live in a world where tigers could attack you at any moment. Like, you need to be heightened emotions when a tiger's getting ready to attack you. But you don't need to be heightened emotions when you're trying to solve a complex problem. Right.
Yeah, that's really good. I think back to the mission trip last summer, and one of our students, some drywall fell on them. I wasn't there in that moment. I was with some other people doing something else. I got back, and all eyes were on me as I walked in the building, because somebody met me at the car and was like, hey, so-and-so got hurt. And so I had to go assess. I had to... And in that moment, people are watching how I'm handling it.
Yeah.
From the moment I walked in the door to the moment I called the parent to taking them to the hospital. Yeah. They're fine, by the way. It was minor.
Yeah.
But it really is a big deal how we as leaders handle things. And the intentionality that we have to understand their eyes on us, and they will almost do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that brings up two things, like, with emotional intelligence that I think are really important. One is, when we've been through a situation before, it's easier to stay calm in a similar situation.
Correct.
And so, like, some of this is just experience. And there's no... experience is such a great gift. But the other is, what if instead of freaking out, because you could, like a student's hurt, like there's every reason to freak out. And some people are expecting you to freak out, because the only way you show that it's important is by freaking out.
And I might be a little bit internal, but it's not going to help anybody to see that.
But what if instead of freaking out. We took 5 seconds to say, Jesus, I don't know what to do. Would you help me? Right? Like that.
Correct.
Probably in most situations, that 5 second prayer is not going to be, is not going to hinder you from acting the way you need to, but it's simply a, Jesus, help me stay calm here because I don't know what to do. And I think just that is, I've got a lot of emotions. I know I need to do something. I know I can't freak out. Jesus, help me. Right. And I think like that's a great thing in emotional intelligence. Sometimes, yeah, just pause.
And could you imagine, talk about bringing Jesus to the workplace, right? You're in a moment in your workplace where things are going down or your response is needed. And instead of responding, you pause. You're saying that prayer, but people view it as pausing. And they start seeing you more and more as a person of peace, a leader that's really a steady presence. That could be a huge game changer.
Yeah. Why do you always pause before you say something?
So going back, when you were talking about the turning point into more of emotional intelligence, all I could think about was my parents and how they parented. And they were great parents. I'm not going anywhere with this. But they would say, I would say, why? And they would say, because I said so. Right? And that was just why we did it, because they said so. There was never any explanation. I think in my own parenting, I gave more explanation. So I think I understand this concept a little bit better, understanding that it's not just to do it because I said so, but understanding some of these components. Where I'm going with this is I'm a leader and I'm listening and I really want to start working on this. Where do I start and why is this so valuable to me as a leader?
Yeah. So I think naturally if you're a leader, you're in it in some way because you want to accomplish something. And I think that's only happens through making people better. And I think like we got to begin to see our leadership as not what do I get from the people on my team that I'm leading, but how do I make them better? And so I think emotional intelligence allows us to step back and almost watch the game film of what we're thinking and feeling versus just living it. And so I think like, and sometimes that takes counseling. Sometimes that takes, you know, talking it through with a friend, but to gain that emotional intelligence, and again, this is something I'm still really growing into as well, but it takes like, how do I, when I have a conversation, how do I step back and look at myself and the other person and not just let my emotions dictate? Like emotions are hugely valuable. Like God gave them to you for a reason, but we can't let our emotions always lead. We have to be aware of them, but we can't always let them lead. And so how do you begin to ask? Just, I think.
And at the same time, they have a place.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe a good first step, like if you're trying to do it, is after a conversation, instead of scrolling your phone to kind of get through the conversation you just had, like take a moment to just kind of replay it in your mind. Not just what did they do wrong, but what was I thinking and feeling in that situation? Why did I think and feel like this? And my guess is that's not going to just have a profound effect on your leadership, but it's actually going to affect your emotional health too, to think through why did you have some of those emotions. But that would be my, you know, again, in the moment, pray, like I said before, but the other step is just after the conversations, not all the time, but sometimes when you have a heated conversation, ask yourself, what was I feeling?
I love that a lot. Yeah. Great conversation today.
Maybe. We'll see what everybody thinks, right? Like, you guys were weird. Why'd you do no?
Well, after we turn this off, we'll pause and think about our responses how we led this. Thank you so much for joining us today for Jesus-Centric Leadership.